Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Looks like those 50% tariffs on goods from the EU won't be going into effect on June 1st after all.
President Trump announcing an extension on his proposed 50% blanket tariff on imports from the European Union, one of America's biggest trading partners. Trump now moving the tariff start date from June 1st to July 9th after speaking with the head of the European Commission.
She asked for an extension on the June 1st date. And she said she wants to get down to serious negotiation.
Just days ago, Trump called the EU very difficult to deal with and said talks were going nowhere.
ABC's Andrew Dimpert. Russia and Ukraine completing their prisoner swap on Sunday, and just hours later, Russia launched the largest drone and missile attack since the start of the war on Ukraine, leaving 18 people dead and leaving dozens injured. Israeli airstrikes killing nearly 50 people in Gaza overnight, including 36 displaced Palestinians who've been sheltering at a school. Israel says that location was a Hamas command center. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car but has had too much can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series this Memorial Day at AmFam Field in Milwaukee against the Boston Red Sox. We'll recap the game later tonight. The Crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates Sunday at PNC Park. Overall, another good showing from starter Logan Henderson. The win going to reliever Jared Koenig. The Brewers coming back with clutch hits in the eighth, and closer Trevor McGill earned the save in the ninth. Pat Murphy.
McGill, that was remnants of our closers of the past. The last four or five times. We're showing signs. I mean, didn't have to win this game the way it was going. Four hits and three in the first, and then looking behind us, and we've seen this a bunch this year. It was really just like sick to my stomach. And then bam, 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 you know, you just knew those guys. I mean, and they're all behind in the count and still battling with, I think every hit was with two strikes or nearly every hit. And the Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
At Serenity Pet Spa, we're more than just a grooming salon. We're changing the industry. From mentoring the next generation of groomers to educating pet owners, we're raising the standards for expert care, safety, and compassion. Because your pet deserves more than just a bath and a trim. They deserve a lifetime of trust. Join us in leading the change. Hear me, Liz Johnston, share my expertise every month on 92.7 WMDX. Serenity Pet Spa, more than just a pet spa. We're changing the industry. Book your appointment today.
Here on Memorial Day weekend, Castlecade Arcade would like you to pause and remember those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defending our freedom. This summer, have some fun at Castlecade Arcade with unlimited play all day for only $15.
Unlimited play excludes any games that give out prizes or products. See location for details.
With locations inside Madison's East and West Town Malls, Castlecade Arcade is the perfect place for your next graduation, birthday party, or special event. AllCastleGames.com.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
We at WMDX hope that you're having an enjoyable and reflective Memorial Day. Up next on John and Gordy is their interview from last week with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning, and we are having a wonderful time here this morning, aren't we? Even though it was raining outside,
it's drizzly.
And
yeah,
we have Mike McCabe in the studio from Substack. Mm-hmm. Is it raining out there still a little bit?
Yeah, it's dismal out there. It's all great. It's all bright and shiny in here, but
yeah.
But man, it's one of those dreary days outdoors. And sprinkling a little bit, but not bad.
Yeah.
All right. This portion of the show being brought to you by our new sponsor here. You might be interested in this, Mike. Madison now has a place where you can break stuff. It's called Crashbox Therapy. You can smash your stress away at Crashbox Therapy. They're at 319 Beltline Highway next to Pitcher's Pub. You can break, you can stomp, you can shatter, you can yell out all your pain or joys at Crashbox Therapy. Make your appointment now. Just go online, crashboxtherapy.com. That's crashboxtherapy.com, 319 Beltline Highway, next to Pitcher's Pub. Get your aggression out. You know, you don't want to go around with a chip on your shoulder or something. You just go in and break stuff.
I mean, a lot of the topics we talk about here, you know, really make us angry. Now, if we could bring a little Crashbox Therapy here into the studio, right? Maybe they got a portable version of it.
I don't think that's a good idea. So we don't want to break anything in our brand new studio here. We might hurt something.
We don't have enough equipment in the brand new studio to break.
Okay.
Well, all right. They're promising to put that in.
Something to keep in mind.
All right. Okay. All right.
Mike, it's good to see you. Mike McCabe.
Good to be here.
Substack blogger. And author of Miracles Along County Q.
That's right.
Okay.
So we were just checking out your latest post.
Right.
It's pretty dark stuff there.
kind of on a negative.
Geez. And I know you're standing up for the rural community, but boy, you know, they're pretty...
I actually think...
Politically active sometimes.
Well, yeah, and I think there's an uplifting part to the story.
There is.
It was outright revolt in the early 1930s.
Yeah.
In the area where I grew up, not far from County Q, as a matter of fact, that runs through Clark County.
Wow, there you go.
a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Something that is on very many people's radar, but.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, how you led up to it by, you know, maybe some comments in the audience from people who might actually think that rural communities are a little bit on the very conservative, edgy side.
Yeah, and the area I'm talking about where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah.
And in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And farmers had had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign, and eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks, and they were blocking shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided, we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And it ended up getting the attention of the Roosevelt administration. And the very first farm bill came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A federal response that produced a New Deal era supply management program that made sure that farmers got a fair price and were able to be profitable was put in place in this country for the very first time. So here in this area where it's today about the biggest MAGA Republican stronghold that you will see anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, started this revolt. The governor at the time was a Democrat. Now, Democrats and Republicans were different animals back then.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
But the governor at the time was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He called out the National Guard to confront the strikers. They were met with tear gas and beaten with clubs, and one farmer was shot in the neck and died in his brother's arms.
Oh, my God.
It did not stop the strikers. The Wisconsin State Journal wrote an editorial at the time comparing that killing of that farmer to the beginning of the American Revolution, and this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress. And the Roosevelt administration put into effect a system that treated farmers far more fairly than they had been treated. So that kind of, that Democratic governor at the time compared these farmers to socialists and said that they were had fallen under the influence of Bolsheviks.
Sure.
And these are the people who are in the same area that today is very red. MAGA country.
It's amazing how their heritage has so much to do with socialism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at that same basic time, I didn't write about this, but there was something formed in North Dakota called the Nonpartisan League. That very same time, the early 1930s, and they put in place public purchasing and transport of wheat, because that was a big wheat area.
Mm-hmm.
They actually formed the first and only, it still exists today, is the State Bank of North Dakota, a public bank to provide credit to farmers and to make sure that farmers could get product to market at a reasonable cost. And that bank, the State Bank of North Dakota, mm-hmm. still exists to this day.
Wow.
And so there was,
how did Trump miss
there was
that?
There was this prairie populism. It's a state bank. It's not a federal bank.
He's going after everything.
I know. But there was this prairie populism, and those organizers of the Nonpartisan League in North Dakota, they were socialists. They were popular back then.
Socialism was very popular.
Yeah, and so I think my point was just that, look, It hasn't always been the way it is today.
Yeah.
Not in Clark County, Wisconsin, not in North Dakota, in none of these places. It's not always been this way, and it's not always going to be this way. And the seeds of reactionary right-wing politics have always been there, but also the seeds of progressive, even revolutionary politics mm-hmm. have always been in the ground there. Now, I also mentioned that this was not a one-off. What happened right. in 1933 was not a one-off. During my childhood, I was 14 years old at the time.
Is that 1974?
It was 1974, right. So I was 14 years old. Yeah. And this was in Curtis, and our farm was just miles outside of the little town of Curtis in Clark County. I remember this well. We had reached the point where shipping an animal to market cost you more than what you got paid yeah. for the animal.
Yeah. Right.
If you sold an animal in market, it didn't even cover your transportation costs.
I remember that story.
And
it was
people
a big
were
story back
people
then.
Were so frustrated yeah. with the pricing of you know in the market that that farmers in Clark County ended up organizing a calf kill.
Yeah.
And dug a huge trench. Yes. I remember exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And they dug a huge trench. Right. Over 650 calves were slaughtered and dumped in this trench. And about a dozen and a half hogs also were killed and dumped in the trench. Now, my family didn't participate. We knew about it. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
We chose not to participate. But it made national news. It ended up covered in the New York Times. Walter Cronkite announced this news, reported this incident on the CBS Evening News. And we all watched it. That little Curtis, 150 people in the middle of nowhere, made the national news because of this outburst of frustration. And so as recently as 1974, you had this, you had, you know, these seeds of revolt that were right there.
Yeah.
It was seething. And I think it's just so important for people to remember that the way people seem today is not the way they've always been, and it's not the way they will always be. It's a heck of a lot more fluid than people imagine, and so that was really my point with this latest Substack article.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, 746. And so, Mike, what can we learn? Let's talk about today's farmers. And you know, is there a possibility that they could do some sort of drastic action? What are they upset about that would cause them to do something that they did back in the 1930s or in the 1970s?
Well, you know, we have had...
Are they organized, I guess,
Farmers have never been organized at any given moment, but in 1933, they got organized.
Yeah.
And they got organized in a hurry because they were there were feelings of desperation. And same thing happened in 1974. When I was growing up, farmers are not, you know, they're working all day, 7 days a week
right.
out on the farm. They're not prone to being going off to organizing meetings. But when conditions reach a point where they can't take it anymore, when they reach that breaking point, they get organized in a hurry and they'll take these dramatic actions, as happened in the milk strikes in 1933, happened more recently during my own upbringing. And you know, we had 50 years of market stability and decent prices. Farmers had times when they would struggle. They would have times where they were doing relatively well. But we had 50 plus years of market stability. Well, a lot of that is getting unraveled. And you know, that little town of Curtis was 150 people then, but when I was growing up there, it's just over 200 people now, but it's the majority of the population is Latino. Most of the people living in Curtis are not white.
You mentioned that. Yeah.
Because they're the cow milkers. They're the farm workers.
Yep. Right.
And if current immigration policies take us to such extremes that you're deporting people simply because they're brown or black, you could cripple American agriculture. And if people are pushed to that limit again, where their operations are crippled, you'll see them rise up again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Trump has exempted farm workers at this point.
So far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up there when we come back with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. 7:48, back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning after this. Just tell him outdoor he's gotta go, and he'll go farther.
Here's to the farmer. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer.
All right, I'm getting depressed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's not Paul Harvey.
Not a good life. WMDX 92.7. And I want to thank Laura for the text this morning. She loved the Costco pedestal fan story. I don't know if you realize it, but you called it fantastic at least twice. So thank you, Laura.
John, you didn't even get to the hopeful part of that little poem from Paul Harvey.
Well, what was the hopeful part?
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
At the very end, it's about a kid who wants to become a farmer when he grows up.
Well, there's still plenty of kids out there that want to do that, right?
Damn.
FFA and all that.
How much time do we have here?
All right. For 4-H, this portion of the show being brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Pardon me. MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They offer fast and flexible appointments. Talk to Jim and Sarah. They are helping people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids, as John and I both know.
Yes.
We've been there. We've done that. We've got hearing aids. They're amazing. It improves the quality of life through better hearing. It's Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to their website, madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
See, we thought we were indestructible at those concerts
that
we attended.
What you think, those rock concerts back in the 70s. Yeah. And, yeah, loud music will do it.
You pay the price in the end, though. That's what happens. Oh, mm-hmm. Boy.
We're back with Mike McCabe now. God. We were talking about... farming and
there's a different impression of farmers, you know, and it's a misimpression of farmers, because you gave a few examples in your post at Substack regarding how farmers vote.
I've done work over the years that put me on the road a lot and put me in front of a lot of audiences. Mm-hmm. I was a candidate for governor and spent a lot of time, you know, going to every nook and cranny of the state, talking to a lot of people. And one of the things I hear when people know of my rural background is that, well, you know, they vote the way they do because they're bigots.
Yeah.
And I get where they're coming from. I hear what they're saying, but I always challenge that, mm-hmm. always. And one of the things I say is, okay, if bigotry explains their voting, then how do you explain the results of the 2008 presidential election, when dozens of the most rural counties in Wisconsin voted to elect the first black president in our nation?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then in 2012, if it's bigotry that inspires their voting, if bigotry is their guide when they go to the polling place, then how do you explain 2012? We had a U.S. Senate election, and one of the candidates was the only four-term governor Wisconsin has ever known, Tommy Thompson.
Yes.
And the other candidate was an out lesbian, Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
And most of the most rural states in Wisconsin voted for the out lesbian. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I think it's really important to realize that the seeds of political revolt, mm-hmm. are there in rural Wisconsin in very recent times. And I think to this day. But, if people are feeling frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, they'll also lash out and move in the other direction. But I don't think we can write off any population. I don't think we can write off any part of our state or our country, because there are seeds of progressive revolt everywhere.
Yeah,
in every part of this land.
Yeah, we were talking off the air about the other revolt, and that was during the milk pricing problem that we had here in the state. There was an oversupply of milk, and we also had problems shipping milk into Canada. It was at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they were dumping milk all over the state.
Yeah. And the thing is you can't turn off cows.
Yeah.
They have to be milked every day, at least a couple of times a day.
Right.
And the milk comes, but if you are getting such a miserable price that you can't even afford to ship it to market, the only recourse you've got is to dump it. And you see that from time to time when milk pricing gets ridiculous enough, farmers will just say, well, we can't even afford to get it to market, so we're going to have to dump it, which is a horrible waste, of course. but that is when you reach that point of desperation. And that's what will turn people to sometimes really unexpected kinds of political action.
Well, you know, Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, she was on the program just this Monday, mm-hmm. and mentioned that when the tornadoes come through and some of these barns are devastated, mm-hmm. You still got to milk cows. Mm-hmm. Where do you milk them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who milks them? Where does the supply go?
Right.
I mean, that is a huge problem. I never even thought of it before.
Right. Go to a neighbor or, you know, try to truck the cows somewhere else. I mean, it's, yeah.
Different cows being milked at another farm. It's kind of, you know, chancy. I mean, no one knows what's got. There's a lot of work out there where these farmers have to get together and help each other out.
Oh, it's an incredible act of faith to throw seeds in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're, you know, a killer frost can destroy the crop. You can lose it all to a hailstorm or tornado. And that's always been the nature of farming, but yet people do it.
Yeah,
that's
they do.
Mike, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next Wednesday. It's Mike McCabe. You can check him out at Substack. with his blog every week there. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened their doors back in 1958. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East and West Side. It's verlo.com.
Adjustable bed frames. Don't forget to ask about those.
And about their lifetime comfort guarantee.
That's right. Yeah.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
So with Memorial Weekend on the horizon, I'm going to take a guess that some of you might actually be going camping. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. Well, if you're planning on camping near a farm, you might want to take a look at some Wisconsin regulation related to that farm. Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, says even innocent farmers that are allowing you to pitch a tent on their land could fall victim to an outdated piece of state legislative law.
Well, we are working on changing legislation that was changed in 2017. Previously, if you had 0 to 3 sites, you did not need a campground license. Farmers are not campgrounds. People who want a farm stay on a farm are a different clientele than those that want to go to a campground. And we are looking at the flexibility and the opportunity for small family farms to be able to generate a little additional revenue stream.
That's Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She says, as it stands right now, under Wisconsin law, farms that have 4 or more campsites, or even those with 1 to 3 if advertised as a campground, fall under the oversight of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, would require permits as well as inspections.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And reaction came swift yesterday from farm organizations and commodity groups after the Make America Healthy Again Commission released their report. From the International Dairy Foods Association, they said that they are hoping that the commission develops its strategy to tackle childhood chronic disease and urge the commission to embrace sound science and evidence throughout the process. More to come. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. It sounds like my last piano lesson that I took.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Why did you give it up? You know, you were doing so well.
I thought I was doing okay,
but... It is Bi-Musical Instrument Day.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Sam, why don't you test out that trombone again?
No, not again.
How much did you pay for this thing?
Oh, God.
What? Oh, look out. Look out, Boris. You know how to do that. Is that the only thing you know how to do with that trombone?
That's the only thing I can do, yeah.
How much did you pay for that thing?
I don't know, like $30.
Wow. Seems like a deal. And you had to fix it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You bought a broken trombone for $30.
It was only $30.
So you could fix it. All right.
He's Mr. Fix-It Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This portion of the show being brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Mm-hmm. They're located at 4706 Cottage Grove Road. You can get your ears checked, and if you need them, you can find hearing aids there. They are helping people change their lives at Madison Hearing Aid Center. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing, and they have fast and flexible appointments. You don't have to wait months and months to get in. You can get in fairly quickly. Just call them up or stop in or check out their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. That's MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. Jim and Sarah will set you up.
All right. Take care. Sounds great.
All right.
All right. Our guest today is Jim Santel.
Attorney at law. Dun, dun, dun. Where's our attorney music?
I'm waiting for the big intro.
Where's the Perry Mason music? Where's the...
Or Law and Order.
I played the intro music to his show. I guess we'll get to that
there
in
you
a
go.
Little bit.
I know that, but you know, right now we're building up this this tension level.
Jim, I have music wherever I go. All right.
Yeah?
I enter a room, the music plays just miraculously.
What's your favorite attorney music? What's your favorite attorney
music? Yeah, which one of those shows?
Gosh.
Which one of those shows do you like?
Law and Order is fun just because everything from birth to death is wrapped up in 15 minutes, and the music represents that as well. Just happens, crime committed, victims identified, witnesses, appeals, and we're done. Move on to the next crime within 42 minutes of airtime.
So it's amazing how they do that.
Well, you've got it down. I think you've spent too much time watching those shows, Jim.
I think I have, yes.
Yeah. All right, Jim hosts Amicus Law Review. And that's a wonderful 2 hours from 9 to 11.
Every Saturday.
Yep.
Yep.
A live program. You can call in and ask Jim a question.
That's right. And our phone lines are open, too, 608-879-8255, 608-879-8255. Okay, we got a lot of stuff to get to here,
Well, why
Jim.
Don't we get to habeas corpus? So let's get to the definition.
What is the meaning of it?
What the heck is habeas corpus anyway, right? I guess Kristi Noem was asked this. She's the Secretary of Homeland Security. She would certainly know
what that is,
right?
Why wouldn't she?
Yeah, well, Senator Hassan asked. What it meant.
Yeah.
So let's listen to the cut 139.
Okay.
Cut 139.
Here we go.
So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Here we go.
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Habeas corpus is the legal principle mm-hmm. that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people. If not for that protection, the government could simply arrest people, including American citizens, and hold them indefinitely for no reason. Habeas corpus is the foundational right that separates free societies like America from police states like North Korea. As a senator from the Live Free or Die state, this matters a lot to me and my constituents and to all Americans. So, Secretary Noem, do you support the core protection that habeas corpus provides, that the government must provide a public reason in order to detain and imprison someone?
Good question.
Yeah, I support habeas corpus. I also recognize that the President of the United States has the authority under the Constitution to decide if it should be suspended or not.
It has never
Let us be clear, though, that this
never been done. It has never been done without approval of Congress. Even Abraham Lincoln got retroactive approval from Congress.
Well, so, you know, these lackeys that Trump has put in place, they really, really, truly adore Trump, don't they? That is an amazing thing. And by the way, another questioner also mentioned, well, where is habeas corpus in the Constitution? And she didn't know. And, of course, the answer is Article 1.
Seems like
it happens to be one of those things that James Madison said. Maybe the legislature should make that decision. It's the big one right at the start. Yeah. You don't have to get to the amendments even before you get to habeas corpus. So
right.
Not a lot of reading for our secretary, but apparently she didn't want to do that before the hearing or before taking on this important role. And there we have it, right? It's again, you don't necessarily need to all know all the Latin, but let's do a little Latin just in case she's listening, right?
Yes,
right? So habeas corpus. Corpus, of course, sounds like it's body, right? That's the Latin for body. And habeas basically means you should have this. So you should have the body. It basically guarantees not a presidential right, not an executive right. it guarantees everybody a right to a hearing to determine the legality if there's a basis for detaining you. And it ensures that nobody in the United States of America, at least the one that existed before Kristi Noem was here, can be imprisoned indefinitely without a trial or some other legal justification. Basically, where's the body? Tell us about it. And the right to defend against your detention. That's what it means. And it's not that difficult. It frankly animates every single thing we've been talking about ever since March when the president started to deport all these people. Mm-hmm. All of that has to do with the right to come in and tell a judge somewhere who I am, what I've done, defend against this deportation request, explain what's going on, and see what the judge does with it. That's due process.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get that.
You know, I think it's kind of surprising, too, that she wasn't a little angry at Trump, because obviously she took the interpretation of habeas corpus from Trump's own interpretation of habeas corpus and kind of misled her. And then she, of course, made this mistake, which is recorded, and we just played it. So, you know, misdirection plays all over the place. These people are suckers. All right, let's get to the big story, of course, is that a judge is angry that the Trump administration violated the deportation of immigrants to Sudan this time, and not a safe place to go. Fill us in.
South Sudan, we know, a place of horrific civil war. There was an attempt to try to bring that to an end. That fell apart. One of the most dangerous places on the face of the planet. Mm. Our own State Department, Marco Rubio's State Department, has warned Americans and others from visiting there. But we've got Brian Murphy. We've actually talked about him before. Mm. He's a federal district court judge. He's in Boston. And he has previously said, way back in April, you got to provide notice. Again, Kristi, habeas corpus, notice, due process, all those good things.
Yep.
Says you got to provide notice at least 15 days to immigrants who are being deported to a country not their own. So they have a chance to petition on that and push back on that. That's what the judge said. Sounds reasonable. Doesn't sound erratic in any way. And so what happens, obviously, just a day or so ago, is the judge's hair quite literally on fire, cannot properly do this justice unless you listen to the back and forth on this. Basically, he said that the administration has violated his order by deporting these people. We've got about eight individuals in particular don't know exactly where they're going. They're from Cuba, Laos, Mexico, South Sudan, one of them, Burma, and Vietnam. And the uncertainty is where they are. There was a sense they were going to Ireland first, then Djibouti. We don't know where they are. And the point is, we don't know about this, what's going on. And the judge goes on to say the department's actions in this case, getting them on these planes and sending them out there, not providing them with notice, not providing them with due process, he says, unquestionably violative of this court's order. That's called contempt. It's also called, as we have talked about so many times on this wonderful broadcast, that's a violation of the rule of law. That's when the country begins to break down.
Well, you know, it's kind of
our Department of Justice attorneys, by the way. These are not, right? It's your department. This is going into court. These are my former colleagues, again, many years ago. The notion of going into a court and telling a judge, you can appeal an order, which they obviously do, but looking at a judge and saying, we're not doing that. And yes, it's very nice. I'll take notes, but it's not at all connected with what my client, the Department of Homeland Security, is doing. I'm either not going to tell them what you're directing. I'm simply going to disregard what you're doing. And we don't care. That is the end of the Constitution, right? That's no more checks and balances. We're at the end. And the question then is, what do you do with that? You've seen this before. We talked about Paula Zinnes. That's the Abrego Garcia case in Boasberg in Washington, D.C. Judge named Stephanie Gallagher. She's also ordered directions with respect to a 20-year-old Venezuelan. All these folks telling your government, provide these folks with due process before you deport them. And if you don't, you're in violation of my order. And the response from the United States Department of Justice is very interesting. No. And they are, again, contempt sounds as bad as it does, in fact, convey. But the greater issue here is, what do we do about this with an administration that's now going to court and saying, we don't care what judges are telling us? That's the end. That's the end.
Is there anybody challenging this to the Supreme Court? Because this seems like something that needs to be taken care of immediately. They need to at least come down on the side of at least telling the administration they can't keep breaking these deportation orders from judges.
Right. And so, interestingly, it's even more dramatic because to the extent that the Supreme Court has weighed in on some of these, and has done a little bit, as late as a couple of weeks ago, it did say that under this Alien Enemies Act, which is not properly invoked, they've expressed some low-level concerns about it, basically said once again, you do have to provide them with due process. Give them notice in their own language. It's not just a receipt. They've got to understand it. You got to get them in front of a judge. They have said that, and as late as just last Friday, indicated that the current policy of giving them 24 hours to challenge says surely does not pass muster. That's the Supreme Court. Those are the justices.
That's true.
Above,
they did say that. Yeah.
Above the appeals court judges, and they're simply not doing it. We don't care what the Supreme Court says either. That's the other complicating factor here.
Jim, we got to leave it there. You can listen to Jim Santel with Amicus, a law review, Saturdays on the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 to 11. Jim, always great to have you with us. We'll talk to you next
time as well. More Latin. More Latin. We'll do more Latin for our secretary.
We
How
need
about
more
that?
Latin in the show. Thank you.
Makes it look
always
official.
A joy.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing from their mattress.
a good night's rest, am I right? It's not rocket science. You don't need a physics genius to make you a futuristic space bed. You just need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. And you might even be surprised to learn that that someone could be living right next door. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
Honey, the TV's too loud.
What? I can't hear you over the TV.
If this sounds like your house, it's time to visit Madison Hearing Aid Center. They'll help you turn down the TV and the arguments. With technology utilizing AI and a team that actually listens, they'll have you hearing things you didn't even know you were missing.
Well, that shirt looks nice on you.
I haven't heard that in 20 years.
Visit MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
This is Chad Spate. Are you thinking about improving your home? At Chad's Design Build, we're proud to offer remodeling done well with love. And our commitments to you and your home convey that love and spell our name. The Chad's experience is structured to provide excellent communication, honesty, accuracy, detailed proposals, and satisfied customers. We're also committed to making your home comfortable, healthy, attractive, durable, and sustainable. If you want a quality remodel and a quality remodeling experience, go to ChadsDesignBuild.com to learn more.
Buying a home is a lot like eating pistachios. Some deals pop right open, some take a little effort, and some, well, some make you want to grab a hammer. That's why you need Aaron Weber Group. We do the heavy lifting so you don't break a nail or your sanity trying to crack into the housing market. We've got the perfect place where you can eat pistachios in every room. So don't shell out your life savings on a bad deal. Call Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, today. We'll get you into a home that's nothing but perfect.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Walking, not running, up to the finish here. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
We hope your Memorial Day is going well, and we've invited Catherine Lake, our program director, our station manager, into the WMDX John and Gordy studios this morning.
We feel like she needs to take some blame as well, so she can be on the program.
How's your Memorial Day going so far, Catherine?
Yeah. I've got to get home and start cooking. I got things to do.
Really?
I'm a big cook.
Are you grilling out or something?
Yeah. I don't have a grill or people or food. But I'm going to
You got a fire pit, though.
I got a fire pit.
Do some hot dogs and marshmallows.
Yes. Hot dogs over the open flame. That's what I will do. I have hot dogs in the house.
Excellent. Do you really?
Yeah. They don't go bad, do they?
They do have an expiration date.
Oh, okay. I'll check that.
Let me just mention that this portion of John and Gordy on Memorial Day, along with Catherine, is brought to you by Crash Box Therapy.
I want to do this.
Isn't this? We should have a station event at this place.
My kid wants to do this.
Yeah. Wouldn't this be fun?
It's not a bar, right? It's anybody can go. My 15-year-old wants to go. They want to do it.
Hey, it's Wisconsin. Bring a kid along to the bar anyway.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, it is not a bar. It is next door to a pitcher's pub.
Oh.
Madison now has a place where you can break stuff. You can just go smash your stress away at Crash Box Therapy. It's at 319 Beltline Highway next to Pitcher's Pub. You can break, you can stomp, you can shatter, you can yell, you can You can, you know, just let it all out there. Yeah, with either your pain or your joy, it says here. So if you want to be joyful while you break stuff, that's your deal. Crashbox Therapy. Make your appointment now at CrashboxTherapy.com.
You know, I can't wait to check place. It out. It is a brilliant idea. How frustrating life is right now. How frustrating.
The best idea is having Trump speeches on the PA system in there. I mean, it really adds.
I really the enjoyment of getting your frustrations out. Yeah, CrashboxTherapy.com. Yeah. Okay. So here it is, Memorial Day. There are all kinds of events going on today around.
Fill us in on the details of our events.
Well, you know what? We'll get to those in a minute. But I'm just wondering, you know, each one of us, our parents were, you know, our fathers were in the military.
Yeah. Yes,
you know,
that's true.
And
yeah.
I know both John and my dad were both in World War II.
World War II.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And my dad served in, you know, he was an officer. He made it up to major.
Wow.
And he was down in Panama protecting the Panama Canal from, you know, people going through. You know, they wanted to protect that area because obviously for transportation, military stuff. So he was down there and he didn't see any action. He wasn't involved in any military action, but he learned how to play ping pong.
And really well.
He was really good at it. But
so that's where it comes from. That's where your love of ping pong.
Your obsession with ping pong. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
John, but your dad?
It's almost an obsession, isn't it?
It is.
It is, yeah.
John,
is.
Your dad also in World War II?
World War II was wounded almost immediately and came home.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that's so
touch
sad.
And go for a while.
He didn't want to talk about it, though. My dad didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, he never talked about it.
What kind of injury was it? It must have been serious enough.
It was a serious injury, shot in the back and lost a lung.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Before kids.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Lived his life without one lung.
I often think, why would somebody who is, you know, standing next to him think, gee, I'm going to carry this guy and try to save his life? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see a wound like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's
thank goodness, because you wouldn't be here otherwise.
That's true.
My dad was in Korea. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Korean yeah,
he
War, took
a, yeah. Yeah, he was the just shuttling 50s. Shuttling a jet. He spent a lot of time in Greenland. Which is why that's so amusing to me that Trump wants to do something about that. He took a jet that was shuttling it from one base to another in the U.S. after doing lots of recon stuff, just photography. Denver had to drop a bomb on anybody in Korea.
But he got injured.
He did. The plane went down with him in it, and because it was too late to eject, it was on its way into the airport, and there was a puff of dirt. When it went down, so that's how they knew where he was, because they're on the radio with him. Are you going to make it? No, I don't think so. I'm going to put it right down here. And then it's like, where is he? Well, you see that puff at the end of the runway? I think that's him.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Broke his back.
Oh. Yeah.
But walked after that. He was basically a walking paraplegic. Knee drop or foot drop, they call it, right?
Yep.
Okay. So strong. Wow. So strong.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wonder why wouldn't the plane have exploded? They normally explode.
Because
on
he's impact. Brilliant.
That's what happens in the movies, John.
He did not Steve Austin down a runway, right? Instead, he went through a forest, hitting it just so. Mm-hmm. Then he just, boom, right down and skidded. I have a photograph
great
of
stuff.
The skid and the plane with a broken nose. Just nutty.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, again, we know there are a lot of ceremonies today on Memorial Day and parades and various things going on around southern Wisconsin. But, you know, we want to take a pause here to thank all people that served in past and current conflicts all over the world.
And all
the U.S.
Those that didn't make it.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And now we celebrate their lives today.
That's it.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Their sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we hope that you're enjoying your Memorial Day holiday and that you take a little time out to think about those things. Mm-hmm. And as we wrap things up for this holiday season, you know, we were going to talk about some of the events and some of the things happening here, but we really don't have that much time.
Find your local parade.
To do that.
Steal
some candy from a kid.
Yeah.
That's your plan?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at those three chumps over there. They got three kids running your show today. You got Parker. He's going to be off in Milwaukee, right? Or Racine. We got our Sam, of course. Yeah. We've got our new Dom. Look at those. They're so cute.
Okay.
There's so much promise. There. Look at their smiling.
Okay.
They're adorable. Yeah. So okay. Put the camera on them for a few minutes.
All right, kid. I don't know what's going to happen next, do they?
That's enough. Have a great Memorial Day.
Uniforms?
This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since 1958. They're still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to verlo.com. John, Catherine, producers, have a great Memorial Day.
Yeah,
all you listeners out there.
You as well, Gordy.
We'll be,
you
thank
as well.
You.
You
let's go eat.
Back tomorrow morning, the brand new show. Have a great day.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump changing course in the trade war with European allies. The president announcing he is now delaying implementing those 50% taxes on European Union goods until July 9th. He had threatened a June 1st tariff date. Ceasefire talks stalled in the fight between Russia and Ukraine.
We've seen 3 days and nights of continuous strikes, many of them focused on the capital, Kyiv. President Zelensky again appealing to the US and Europe to intervene. But President Trump speaking out in some of his most critical comments yet of Russian leader Putin, saying he's gone absolutely crazy, but also criticizing President Zelensky, saying everything out of his mouth causes a problem.
ABC's Ian Pannell. Israel continuing its airstrikes in Gaza, hitting a school where families had been sheltering. Israel says that school was being used as a Hamas training center. The Senate now debating the budget the House passed last week. Some Republicans want even bigger spending cuts. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the